Blog Talk Radio.
Is your business protected against the threat of malicious litigation and frivolous lawsuits? Are you sinking company profits into marketing campaigns that do nothing to contribute to the growth of your business? Bottled Business Sense provides practical business perspectives that uniquely emphasize both legal and media marketing strategies to protect and ensure the longevity of your business. And whether you're trying to provide a startup business with some level of stability, or an established business with foolproof asset and estate protection, or simply attempting to get a better return for your business marketing dollars, Bill Bernard and Rick Muscoso will expose potential pitfalls to ensure the security and growth of your business, free from unwanted expense and the threat of litigation. You'll learn how to implement marketing and protection tools equal to those used by today's most successful corporations. Let's join Bill and Rick for today's Bottled Business Sense Show.
Good morning, everyone. Today's Tuesday at 10 a.m. here on the Bottled Business Sense Show. I'm Rick Muscoso, one of your co-hosts this morning. I am the founder and owner of Captivate 365 LLC Video Marketing. And on the other side, we have Mr. Bill Bernard. But before we bring him on, all of our information here regarding the show, social media, how to contact us is right below this video. So please reach out to us and connect. And if you would love to hear a specific topic that is of interest to you, please drop us a line at bottledbusinesssenseshow@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your feedback. In fact, a number of our shows have been tailored around customer feedback and customer requests out there. So you're welcome to go ahead and do that at any time, and we'd be happy to entertain the topic of your choice. So with that, we'll make this short and sweet and get Bill on the show here. So Bill, welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning, everybody. Yes, we're back again for another Tuesday show. Speaking of feedback, we've had some conversations with two clients in particular, these clients have requested some information that is pertinent for people who already have a business entity. I hope you won't tune out if you don't have a business entity, because you really should get one, and why you should get one is in our very first inaugural show about 2 years ago. So just, that's easy to find on our site. Just go back and look and watch that show. Get a business entity if you don't have one. And then we're going to follow us up with this show at a later date if you have to, because today we're going to talk about finding a registered agent for your business entity. If you're forming a corporation or a limited liability company, you will need to select a registered agent for your business and provide the agent's name and address on the formation of the documents you file with the state of California or for any other state that you file in. We're going to talk about some of those things, but the formation of those documents are very important. That is a critical thing you must put on there, and get a good lawyer on your team and have him take care of that for you. But suffice to say that when someone uses a business, they must notify the business of the lawsuit. In some states, a copy of the lawsuit must be delivered in person to a representative of the business. In other states, it must be mailed. Here in California, we require personal service. And to make it easier to determine who should receive a lawsuit against a corporation or an LLC, all states require business entities to keep the name and address of a registered agent on file. A registered agent, very simply, is a person or entity, that has agreed to be available during business hours to accept lawsuits and other documents on behalf of a specific business. Why do we have these? Well, from a practical standpoint, if you get involved in litigation or somebody wants to make a claim against you, do you really want them strolling into your business office and serving you with a legal document? Rick and I remember a while back, without getting into detail, being in a networking event where somebody came in the middle of the event and served three people with a lawsuit. Embarrassing, to say the least. Imagine that in your business, if you have clients or customers there, because you have to be personally served unless somebody agrees to accept service on your behalf with your permission. So somebody comes in and slaps a summons and complaint on you, or even a subpoena to appear at a deposition is bad enough. But when you're being served with a lawsuit, a registered agent can be substituted in your stead, and you can pay as little in a lot of places as $50 a year for a registered agent. And they'll have an address for where the person has to come, which won't be your place of business. If you do decide to have that person reside at your place of business, then you can certainly make sure that that's on the documentation you file with the state, so that whoever comes in asks for that person and not for you.
Hey, Bill, so could that, now the registered agent doesn't necessarily have to be the attorney that drew up your documents.
No. There are specific companies, as a matter of fact, that are out there and listed as registered agents specifically for their purpose, and most of them are not in the legal community at all.
Yeah. So does it have to be a physical person to receive it, or could it be like, say, my mailbox, et cetera, address over there, you know, in the neighborhood?
Yep. I beg your pardon. Say that one more time. You cut out there a little bit, Rick.
So if does it have to be somebody that's on site, or a facility where somebody is on site?
No.
Or could it be like my mailbox, like a mailbox, et cetera, store down the street, you know, where I have a post office box?
No, you need to have a registered agent, which is a person or an entity. If it's an entity, it's got to be registered. It's got to be verified as a registered agent. When you look up registered agents, you'll see who you can choose from. Mailbox, et cetera, is to me would be just an empty entity where anybody's working there, and they're not the type of facility that typically is registered as a registered agent, if you take my meaning. So typically, no, you would go on. All you got to do is Google registered agents in the state of California or whatever state you're in, and you will be able to get a number of different places to choose from. There's even various websites that you can go to where they will advertise registered agents, and you could go to those sites and then and pick a different select from several different agents, many different agents from those sites as well. Or you can just have your lawyer be your registered agent. That's what I do for a number of my clients.
Yeah, and this agent that you identify obviously is on your entity documents, correct?
No, it has to be when you file. Yeah, it has to be when you initially file your documents. Yeah, your articles of incorporation, if it's a corporation, your articles of organization, if it's an LLC. I should mention, Rick, though, that in addition to lawsuits, registered agents may receive subpoenas, tax notices, and other official correspondence if you choose them to do so. They're responsible, however, for passing these documents along to the appropriate person, either at the LLC or the corporation. Remember that corporations and LLCs, this is very important, folks, corporations and LLCs must have a registered agent in each state where they are registered to do business. So if you're registered to do business in more than one state, you must employ a registered agent in each state in which you are doing business. So I guess that brings us to begs the question, who can be a registered agent, which I think we were touching upon earlier. Registered agents have certain requirements, and they vary slightly but from state to state. But here are a few general rules I think you can take to the bank. One, the agent must have a physical address within the state. A P.O. box will not do. So you mentioned mailbox, et cetera, and a P.O. box. P.O. boxes won't do. Two, the agent must be available at that address during normal business hours. So whoever you specify must be present. Number three, in most states, the agent can be an individual who is at least 18 years old or who has a company that provides specific registered agent services. And that's what I would recommend if you don't go to your lawyer. My first option would be always have your lawyer. Second would be a registered agent service. I wouldn't go with the individual who's 18 years of age or older, unless you're really sure that person's going to fulfill all the other requirements we're going through at the present time. And fourth, a corporation or LLC cannot act as its own agent. However, in most states, one of its employees or owners can be the agent. So, for example, Rick, you could be your own registered agent, but you can't have your company name be the registered agent. You can't have Captivate 365 LLC be the registered agent, but Rick Moscoso can be the registered agent for Captivate 365 LLC. So these are important things to really remember and get in gear when you're establishing your business entity. The question that I always get, folks, and Rick, is should you be your own registered agent? Now that we're at that point in the show, should you be your own registered agent is the question. And naming an employee or owner to act as a registered agent for your business can save money on registered agent fees and can give you the comfort of knowing that legal documents will go directly to you. However, the money thing doesn't really bug me because as I just said, you can get these priced for anywhere from $50 to $100 a year. And if you can't afford that, something is radically wrong with your business and you better hire Rick. So I would also say acting as your own agent has numerous other downsides to it. And here's what they are. Number one, you can be personally served with a lawsuit at your place of business in front of your employees and customers, which we just talked about, right? Mm-hmm. Number two, if you act as a registered agent, your name and address will be part of your business's public records on file with the state. This can be a particular concern if you have a home-based business or want to keep your information private for some reason. Three, registered agents commonly receive other documents, notices, solicitations, and junk mail addressed to the business. If you don't want to sift through all of this junk, you might prefer an outside agent. Because typically when people want to send stuff to a company and they're not familiar with the company, they go online to the Secretary of State website, they get the name of the registered agent, they know the agent can accept service, the information is sent to the agent, and then you rely on that agent to get the information to you. Remember also, another point is if your business changes locations or if your agent leaves the company, you need to remember to update your registered agent information with the state. Because a lot of times companies will reorganize or move and they'll forget to do this. So you need to file the documentation. You need to file with the state to update your company's records. And I would suggest you call me or another attorney in order to do that. If you want to choose to navigate yourself through the website at the Secretary of State, then you can feel free to do that as well. And remember, if you travel frequently, Rick, or if you spend a significant amount of time outside the office during the workday, you shouldn't act as your registered agent because you're not going to be there, right? Right. And somebody's going to say, well, we tried to serve this guy. Guess what happens then? And this is important, folks. Now they file a publication in the newspaper, any newspaper that is of circulation in your community. And if you don't read that newspaper and that notice is out, now you're served with a lawsuit. You haven't responded to the lawsuit in a timely fashion. And after 30 days, somebody goes in and files a request for default. The court enters a default. Now you have a judgment that's going to be filed against you. And finally, if you do business in more than one state, you can only act as an agent in the state where you're physically located. So if you're doing business in other states, it's not going to do you any good to be your own registered agent in California if you're also doing business in Arizona, in Nevada, and in Timbuktu somewhere. So these are the downsides of being your own registered agent.
Folks, I mean, it just makes total sense to have somebody represent you. And just as a precaution, I mean, at the end of the day, it's $4 to $8 a month, right, to do this and have somebody roughly represent you. Yeah. So it really shouldn't be any extra consideration for you, like Bill said.
No, I mean, look, if you're all out of all the shows we've done, if you take them all as a conglomerate and look at them about how to plan your business, how to do agreements, how to finance your business, if you're doing those things correctly, this is minuscule. This is like, you spend more than $8 a day when you go out for lunch, right?
I mean, yeah, no doubt. Yeah, I know, Bill. You referred to one of our first episodes that we did back in June of 2014, and that was a great episode, and it kind of lays out what ultimately Bill had alluded to earlier in the show, and that's entitizing your business. So, yeah, go, you know, if you're not unfamiliar with what that is and how that works, go back to that episode. You can learn all about what Bill has been referring to here in entitizing your business. And by the way, he coined that word because that's the first time I ever heard it. So
that's right. It is mine.
I'll give Bill full credit for the word entitize.
That's right. It's a little word I came up with to make it unique and easily something that you could easily remember. But put these on little tapes, or what do you call them, Rick? You know, you download them and you put them on a little listening device. Yeah. Listen to them in your car or when you're typing out a letter or whatever you're doing. It's great to be able to get that free information that way without being too inconvenient for you. Mm-hmm. So I thought I'd end the show by finally telling people, okay, you know, Bill, give me some tips for selecting an outside registered agent. Are there any tips available? Well, yes, your registered agent responsibilities don't end with accepting lawsuits and other documents on your behalf. The agent is also responsible for getting the documents into your hands promptly. If your agent neglects to do this, you can lose a lawsuit through default, as I mentioned, or you can be subject to court sanctions for ignoring a subpoena. So you want to get somebody that's reliable. Make sure the person has a reputation or the company has a reputation. And typically when you go on these sites, if you have some doubts, give them a call or give the agent a call directly. Get some references.
We'll preface that with a good reputation, right?
Yes, a good reputation. For this reason, it's important to choose an agent that is reputable. Yes. And has a track record. Don't name your second cousin just because he's agreed to do it for free. Many state business filing departments maintain a list of companies that provide registered agent services in that state. And we've mentioned that earlier. If you are registering to do business in multiple states, considering hiring an agent that will be able to act in all of those states, maybe you don't have to go out and get multiple registered agents. They do have registered agents that act in a multitude of states that you may be able to get a discount for and have them act for you in all those states. Remember, folks, here's what you need to know. Your registered agent plays a very, very important role in ensuring that lawsuits are brought to your attention promptly so you can avoid default judgments, fines, penalties, sanctions. It's worth taking the time to make sure you have a registered agent who's going to fulfill all of your business needs. Business needs of various entrepreneurs are different. So make sure you get an agent who can say, yes, I will be able to do all of these things for you. But at the very least, make sure you have somebody who's able to accept service on your behalf for any litigation issues that may arise. And I hope they don't. We're here typically to give you preventative maintenance. But one of those things you need to have is a registered agent. Not so much as a preventative maintenance for anything coming down the pike, but more or less because it's required by law and because it saves you a lot of embarrassment, time, and effort in the long run if you have the proper person in place. So I hope that's been somewhat helpful today, Rick, for our viewers and listeners. And if not, give me a call. I can be reached at 949 area code 413-6535 or 698-6222 or at bill@wfblegalconsulting.com.
Awesome. Well, like we've all heard before, proper preparation will put you in a good position, and that's what we're all about here, educating our viewership on various types of knowledge-based products or information that we talk about, both from a marketing aspect and as well as, like, obviously what we talked about today, a legal aspect for your small business. Right. Bill and I are extremely, extremely passionate about sharing this information with you. We love what we do. We love sharing it with our viewership, and we hope that you all find value in the information that we share here. So with that, Bill, thanks again for the great information. I'm Rick Moscoso with the Bottle Business Sense Show, signing off here, and then we will see you again next Tuesday at 10 a.m. right here on the Bottle Business Sense Show.
Take care and have a prosperous week, everybody.